Welcome to Who Said You Have To, where we discuss how society dictates to us who we must be and how we must live our lives.
In this podcast, we will also help you find ways to choose the life you want to live with no fear or judgment.
My name is Laura Schmidt. Tina and I know the things discussed today are not what society has taught us to believe, but I choose to believe in my own ability to see what is truth and what is not truth.
My name is Tina Mason, and Laura and I challenge you to join us in believing in your own ability to find your truth, not what society has dictated you must believe to be accepted or loved.
The truth is, you are loved exactly as you are, right here, right now. No human is more vital than another. You matter.
And you have the free will to walk your own path with no fear and no judgment. We encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
who said you have to?
Good morning, everyone. I am here today with the honor to interview one of my favorite humans on this earth, Kristen Brown. She is also a fat speaker. Hello, Miss Kristen.
Good morning. Good morning.
So before we start, I just want to tell you, first and foremost, thank you so much for taking the next hour to enchant all of us and just for taking your time to speak today. And I know that you are a very busy woman right now, and I'm just very grateful for you.
Well, I am extremely grateful for you. And this is one of my favorite things to do. So it was not a hard yes. I will tell you that. It was a very, very easy yes, Tina.
Got you.
Plus, I love chatting with you. So thank you. It'll be fun.
We always have so much fun.
We do.
So, Kristen, for those who of my and Laura's listeners, unfortunately, Laura is still under the weather, so she won't be joining us today. And they're doing construction at my office, so I'm at home doing this today. Okay. But for those of our listeners who don't know about you, will you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, you know, this is always a tricky question because I never know which direction to go. So I'll just start out by saying I've always been a seeker. I've always been someone who cares about the struggle in other human beings. I've always been a person who wants people to feel better, and I've always been extremely intuitive. So Right. Those are things that I, you know, kind of combined the essence of Kristen with my life path has led me to teaching people how to reclaim their personal power in relationships and life, because we just don't have to struggle.
How beautiful. Aww, how beautiful is that? You know, the description that comes to me that might be, you know, your elevator pitch when someone says, "What do you do?" I think the response is whatever it is you need at that moment.
Mm.
Because you do so much, and because you are so intuitive and just so in tune with divine, and you're given the path when people need you, you know, when they're put in your path, you just instinctually know what to do because you have cultivated that instinct. You know, how did your spiritual journey begin? I know you said you've always been very intuitive, but how did your kind of awakening, I guess, is what people refer to it? How, when did that begin, or has it always been?
Well, let's start back with the first time I was intuitive, but of course I didn't know that's what it was. And I believe, by the way, I believe we're all intuitive. I think just some people are more tapped in than other people. So this is not like I'm some special person. It's just I learned to trust it at a very young age would be a better descriptor. So when I was in first grade, some little classmate came in and said that he could no longer keep his hamster for whatever reason. And Mrs. Quinn, my first grade teacher, who is the sweetest lady ever, you know, here I am 55 and I still remember her. She said, you know, if anybody would like Johnny's hamster, you know, go home and ask your parents. And, you know, you can be in the drawing. And in that moment, in that stillness, I knew that the hamster was mine. Oh. I just knew. Like it was that, you know, how you know. And it was that's that claircognizant that I later came to find out that's what it's titled. But I just knew, like, I knew I didn't even have to go home and ask my mom. I knew that I didn't have to wish for it. I knew that they would draw my name. And I remember at, what, 6 years old, because I started school early, so I don't think I was seven yet. But I remember at 6 years old, when she went and did the drawing, she pulled my name. And in my head, I said, of course. Like, I already knew.
That is so awesome.
Is that funny? Six years old. So I was like,
so okay. Was that your first hamster?
That was my first hamster, and his name was Tweety. And he was already named.
Of course it was.
He was already named.
Of course it was.
How cute. He was a sweet little boy. But anyway, so that was my first episode with that, I guess we'd call it. But then in fourth grade, I was put in proximity to a man that I just got the heebie-jeebies from. So this is my clairsentient kicking in, right? Clear feeling. And I couldn't name it. It was nothing he was verbally saying or physically doing, but there was something funky. And I remember he was a friend of my mom's, and he was going to take us all to the ice capades here in Phoenix. And I remember telling my mom, I don't want to go. And being a girl that's raised in a household of boys, because I had four brothers and just me, you know, ice capades wasn't even on our map. You know, none of my brothers want to go to ice capades. Right. So that wasn't even on our map.
Right.
So you'd think that I'd be jumping for joy, but I remember standing in the driveway and my mom going, why don't you want to go, honey? And she was very sweet, but she was very naive. And I said, I just don't like him. It was the only way I could verbalize it at like 10 years old. Well, the man ended up being a pedophile that literally went to prison. So, you know, and nothing happened with me, thankfully. But man, my radar was going off left and right, left and right. And that's 10 years old. So when these things started happening, they were so organic, Tina, that I just thought everybody had it. Everybody was normal.
Yes.
Like, this is just part of, because no one said yes, no, look out for it. It was just so normal that I thought everybody was like this. So when I started to get messages, I would just tell people, and I would say, you know, hey, here's the deal. Little did I know that some people didn't want those messages and it would upset people, and they'd get mad because it was going against what they thought they should have or how it should be or whatever, you know, the story.
So I do.
Yeah. Let me clear my throat.
Nope. Go ahead.
Okay.
As you're clearing your throat, I'll ask you, was your mom supportive of, you know, your special abilities, how in tune you were?
She didn't know, but I will say, like, because I wasn't, like, again, I just thought this was as normal as breathing.
You thought it was normal.
Because I was 6 years old, 10 years old, you know, I just felt it was normal as breathing. But here's what was positive is that my mom would say things like, she would say, a little birdie told me. That's how she would, when she knew things. She would say a little birdie.
Cute.
Yeah, because we're little kids, so she can say, oh, you know, God speak, I don't know, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
But she would say a little birdie told me. So that's how she would know. And this is even funnier, you guys. This is so funny. My mom's first language is Spanish because she grew up in Cuba. Now, she's not Cuban by nationality. Her father's German and her mother was American. But she grew up there, so that's her first language. So she thinks in Spanish, she counts in Spanish, she curses in Spanish. Like, it's her heritage.
She was awesome.
But she would translate psychic to the word witch. Okay. Because witch is what they call it in Spanish, right? That's how they call psychic. So my little brother, when he was in kindergarten, they said, draw a picture of your mom, and he drew a witch. And so they called her and into the, like, is there trouble in the home? And she's like, no.
That's hysterical.
So it wasn't discounted, put it that way. But yet she would talk about it. But my mom didn't like talk a lot. She was very introspective. She would talk a lot in public because I think she was nervous and she put on like a show. But she wasn't like walking around the house talking to us constantly. So it was there, but it wasn't there. But the key thing is it was not discounted.
Got you. That is so vital. It is one of the things that I definitely, and I'm sure you do as well. As a matter of fact, I think I've heard you on a talk before talking to a parent. It is so important to make sure that if your children do start showing signs of being super in tune, that you don't scare them. You don't make them feel bad. You don't, you know, tell them, oh, you've got to hide it. Or, I mean, you can give them tips and tricks to get through life easier, right? You know, don't tell your third grade teacher that her husband's having an affair. That one didn't work out so well in my benefit, just saying. But, well, because he was also my PE teacher. So,
oh boy.
Needless to say, he didn't like me so much. But anyways, how important do you think it is to be supportive of your children in that space?
I think it's I think it is the best gift we can give our kids, besides obviously our love and attention and respect. I think when I was raising my children, my first two, I always say my, because I still have a caboose, but she was born 10 and 12 years later from the first two. But when I was raising
I love that.
Yeah. When I was raising my first two, who are 19 months apart. So, you know, it's kind of like that Irish twin situation, boy and girl. I remember thinking, I can't save them from the world. Like, this whole stranger danger movement was really in place back then. I have millennials. So that was really like stranger danger. And I was like, mm-hmm. I want them to be afraid of everybody. I want them to learn to trust themselves like I did, because my intuition saved me many, many times, even when I didn't know it was saving me. It just, right, I didn't really know the magnitude of things, but it saved me. So I remember actually having a conversation with them in the car one day, and I said, I don't want you to fear people, but I want you to trust yourself. And I'm not sure how this was worded, of course, or what even the ages were when I started this with them. But I believe when we steer our children back to themselves, even above what we're saying, because we're just thinkers too, and we throw our English on things, and we throw our, you know, our spin on stuff, and we have our ego sometimes involved, and we really don't know, because it is their path. So of course, this is all age appropriate, but as they grow, I believe it's really about having them tap into what feels right for them. What do they know? Are they hearing anything? And getting quiet. And to this day, you know, my son, who's 26, my daughter's 28, and my little one, I'm on path with her, is, you know, I'm like, what are you feeling, guys? Like, my son's like, I don't know if I should change jobs. What's going on? I'm like, just get really quiet, son, and feel your way through this. And I don't say, well, you know, you shouldn't do this because of that, and the money's better here. I don't do that with my kids. I let them feel their way through it. And then I can tell based on my energy, reading their energy, that they're getting, when they get it, I'm like, that feels right, you know? And they're like, yeah, it really feels right. So I think it's the most, because I even told them, like, if you are in proximity with a police officer or someone of authority and it just doesn't feel right, it's not right.
Right.
So trust yourself above everything. Cause I didn't want them to be just blindly trusting authority, but I also didn't want them to be afraid of the world.
Right. That is beautiful. I wish I would have been more like that with my girls with my girls, it was more of like, if anything, you know, if anybody makes you uncomfortable or anything like that, just tell me and like, I'll believe you. Like, don't ever, you know, just because that of my too. Own bringing, you know,
that's and, important though, Tina. That's really important.
And it is. Yeah. And, but I didn't teach them to trust themselves, to listen to their body. Mm. And I wish I would have done that. You know, I can't go back, but that is, I'm just validating what a great job, because I can see how much of a benefit that would have been. Because both of my girls, I mean, just like you, you know, it runs in the family. They're both very intuitive. And I definitely am going to agree with you that that is just is so important.
Thank you. And I will say this though, but isn't everything purposeful?
100%.
So, right.
100%.
So that however you raise them was exactly purposeful. And I will say the parenting style from my first two to my second one, my third is different. It's improved. It's fine tuned. So, you know, when we first have those babies, those first ones, I was 26 and 28 when I have them. I'm still going through my stuff. So yeah. I'm doing the best I can, you know.
Yeah.
we got to give ourselves a break, because I wouldn't say a hot mess, but I was definitely a warm mess back then. Or, you
there
know,
you go.
A warm mess.
There you go. There you go. I was definitely tempted. But I'm pretty sure I got put in the microwave and warmed up a couple of times hot mess, you know. But that is so awesome. So you were, let's go back to on your, we're talking about kind of how your spiritual journey. So you kind of always knew that the mainstream wasn't exactly what was right for you. And because you had these gifts that people said you shouldn't be able to have, but yet you knew that they weren't bad. And
well, they didn't tell me I shouldn't have them. I was shunned when I shared them.
Ooh.
No one said you can't have it. It was just
like,
can
you say that one more time?
Yeah. It wasn't that I was told I can't have them or shouldn't have them. I was shunned when I shared them. So when I have, you should see me now, man. I am a freaking brick house. I am like,
yeah, you are
rooted in concrete when I know something. So this took, it was very wavy in the beginning because when you start, it's one thing to allow it to guide you, but when you're starting to pick up things, get hits on other people,
right?
And you share it with them. And they don't like it for whatever reason, because like you said, sometimes it's something someone doesn't want to hear, like your husband's having an affair. Like this was all innocent, right? It's like, right. This is such a beautiful, and it's a loving feeling when it comes, right? It's not, right. It's love that comes. A little message comes in and it's just so light. You're like, oh, and I'm going to share this. And then someone's like, you know, and mad at you or whatever, you're a know-it-all, all the things. So
right.
That started to make me feel that I had to hide it or dim my light or just not be my authentic self. And I'm actually looked up and I found my eye caught contact with a book on my shelf that was my very first spiritual / self-help, whatever, woo-woo book. I walked into a bookstore. Yeah, I walked into a bookstore one day. This is before we had all this online book selling stuff. And really, right. There wasn't a lot of things out there like it is now. And I walked in and I looked at the bookshelf, and the book is called Are You Really Too Sensitive? Because, of course, a lot of people are saying you're sensitive, all this stuff. So I opened this book. This was my first introduction to what intuition really is. It broke down the four clairs. It talked about what I'm telling you right now. If you're good at claircognizant, which is clairknowing, that it will, a lot of people will call you a know-it-all or think you're a know-it-all. Well, guess what? You know a lot. You know what you know, what you know. And I will say right now at this stage in my life, like I said, I'm a brick. You cannot move me when I know. And people fuss at me and they try to beat me down emotionally and make me feel, and I just stand there and go, okay, well, we'll see. You know, I even made an Instagram reel about it. I'm like, we'll see. And guess what happens? Because it's rooted in God and love and source and truth. This is I'm not having an opinion. I'm not having an opinion. Those aren't always right. My thoughts aren't always right. My ideas aren't always right, but my freaking intuition is dead on.
Every time.
Right? So, and I know Ryan's listening and Ryan knows this, you know, and you know this, and this is a thing, but so when I opened that book, that was the first time that I was like, I felt validated. I was like, oh my God, someone gets me. You know,
right.
So her name was Marcy Calhoun. I believe that was the title of this book. And I highly recommend it to anybody. It's old, published a long time. Yep. Marcy Calhoun.
I wrote it down. Tell me the author again, because I already wrote it. I already wrote it down as you were talking. I was like, oh, I'd like to read this book and have it in my office to lend out to people, you know?
Yeah. Marcy Calhoun, Are You Really Too Sensitive? And I'm going to see if I can find the publishing date on this, because it, like I said, I was young when I got this guy. You can keep talking though while I'm flipping.
Yeah. So, yeah, a couple of points that you made there, you know, for myself personally, at a very, very young age, you know, I was warned against, because it embarrassed my mom. It runs in my family, her side of the family. And my grandmother was kind of she was Irish, and, you know, it was frowned upon in the Irish Catholic religion. And so my mom was very embarrassed of my grandmother's abilities. And she told me many years later that she remembered being a little girl and women would come at 11 o'clock at night in the, you know, with the hood and everything on and knock on the back door and, you know, talk to my grandmother and say, you know, this is what's going on. And is my husband having an affair? Is this going on? Is this, you know, give me guidance. And then leave and, you know, the next day see my grandmother at the grocery store and snub her. But yet that same woman would come back a month later. And yet that woman would come back a month later when something else would happen. And, you know, and my grandmother, because she felt like, you know, this was a gift given to her from God. And so she would never turn anybody away, no matter how nasty they treated her, you know, but it was that at a very young age, her telling my mom, telling me people will, people are going to shun you and they're going to think that you're weird and a freak and, you know, you need to keep it to yourself. And my husband didn't even know probably up until 2 years after we got married.
Well,
now he knows it all.
Mine knew right away. Mine knew when he was my boyfriend and we were sleeping together. I'm just going to say that. I'm sex before marriage.
Oh, my.
I know. Can you imagine? And I woke up one morning with a song in my head. This was in my when I was living in my mother's house for those 5 years. And I woke up with a song in my head and I turned to who's now my husband, who's my boyfriend at the time. We were both awake. And I said, one of my parents is going to die. Do not tell me I'm wrong and do not try to talk me out of this. And this poor guy doesn't know anything. Doesn't, you know, hasn't tapped into his own intuition. And he just, it, bless his heart, didn't say a word. And four days later, my mother,
smart man.
Yeah. And I don't know if you heard me, but 4 days later, my mother passed away. So, so when he just got, because at this point I was like, you know, I had already done my healing work when I met him, or the majority, you know, cause I'm still, we're always healing,
right.
But I'd gone through my awakening phase and all those things. And I was like, nope, you get me from go. I was also much
good
older
for
than you. You met your husband so much younger. I met Doug at 45. Well, we knew each other in high school, but we reconnected at 45, where you met your husband in your 20s or something, right? So it's a bunch. It's completely different game now than it was back then. And So I want to say
people. People are so much more open now.
It is, and it is, and also I'm not ashamed of those things anymore. But when you're talking about the church, so I was assigned Catholicism. Now, I just have to say that my parents were not hardcore. They were not, you know, we had to go to church and all this stuff. Occasionally we said the, you know, the prayer at dinner that everybody says. It was not a big thing. But all of my Catholic training at the time, and I'm not dissing Catholicism because I'm hearing people, like I met a woman on this app who's, she went back to her Catholic religion. She's having a beautiful light-filled experience. So things might be shifting. But for me at the time, I heard about all my religiosity through the neighborhood and that I was going to hell and I'm not allowed to this and I'm a sinner and I suck and I, you know, all these things. And something inside of me, and I think based on the fact that I did have this connection with God, like I always knew it. And God, I'm very comfortable with that word because that's the word of my youth, right? But I love source, I love universe, I love energy, I love all the words. But God's my kind of go-to word. But I started to think around 14. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm going to be completely transparent here. My mom's like, oh, you've never been confirmed. So we're going to go. So my brother and I went to this. We were way older than we should have been for confirmation. So we go to confirmation. And then I was supposed to go do my first confession. And I went and did it. Yeah, I went and did a confession. And I confessed whatever. I don't even remember how old I was or what I confessed. And then I left and I went and sat in the sanctuary by myself because, you know, they do this on Saturdays or whatever. There's no one around. And I'm doing my Our Fathers, which is a beautiful prayer, and the Hail Mary and all the things. And as I'm sitting there, I'm just going to be totally telling on myself. I stood there in the middle of it and I stopped cold in my tracks and I go, what am I doing? And I got up kind of like, you know, I don't know. I'm picturing Bill Murray in Caddyshack slinking away from the bombs. I just kind of put everything down and sort of like slinked out the door, half bent over, tiptoeing. I was like, what am I doing here? And that was the moment that I actually, I say left the Catholic religion. I wasn't even really that in it. But you get what I'm saying? And I left.
I totally get what you're saying. It was when you realized it wasn't for you.
Yeah. I was like, so that's when I entered what I called the Church of Kristen. I've been a little bit of a sacred rebel my whole life. So the Church of Kristen was, I'm going to figure this out for myself, because I had this connection and love of God inside my heart. Like God was my playmate. I'd go ride my bike on a Saturday morning by myself and I would talk to God. That's who I would play with.
Girl, so, reach it to the choir.
Yeah. So God, I think that's why so thank you for for my parents having that God in my life. They didn't really teach me anything. This, remember, Gen X was feral. Okay. We were just left to our own for the most part.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I wasn't really taught a whole lot or talked to a bunch about things like this. But my point is that I did feel something inside me and I wanted to find what was going on. And that was my first book, was that. And now I have a bookshelf full of things, and anywhere from Buddhism to the Tao Te Ching to I've never read the Bible, I will tell you, but I have listened to Christian type things that are love based. And, mm-hmm. Anything, sky's the limit for me. I just, anything that resonates as capital T truth and makes me feel peace, that's my
church. Right. You pay attention to your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it feels, and that's the thing is, that's the saving grace of what God, and I use God as well. I'm totally fine with source and with divine and everything, because literally it's all exactly the same thing. We've just been taught it's called something different.
Right.
But how many, think about through your life, how many times just paying attention to your body saved you?
Oh, 100%.
Saved.
Oh you. My gosh. Yes.
And whether it was a stranger, a family member, a friend, or even driving your car and you always take a right, but today you know that you're supposed to take a left. And mm-hmm. because you took a left, you didn't get hit by the truck.
Yeah.
You know, and it is so important for us to pay attention to that and to our bodies, because they are literally our divine spirit is made of truth and love.
Yeah.
So the human body cannot lie. It is physically impossible. And so if we, like you taught your children, trust yourself, trust your body, you'll always know. Yeah. So did you find that passage that you were looking for in Are You Really
Too? No, I found the date, and it was published in 1987.
Oh, a year before I graduated from high school.
Yeah. And so it was, so when did you graduate? 86?
88.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's it. And that it just really, it made me feel like I wasn't alone. It made me feel like, and that book found me. Like I said, walked into the first metaphysical bookstore, didn't even know what the word metaphysical, still don't really know what the word metaphysical means, It's like, right.
You and me both.
I really don't connect to a lot of verbiage about things, because I have been such a feeler through life. It isn't until somebody says something to me and like, metaphysical, well, what does that mean?
Right.
And that I started to connect with things, because I would say the majority of my journey has just been me and God, not
right.
People telling me what to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I connect to that so strongly, so strongly. And the thing is that, you are so strong, Kristen, and you are so amazing. And, do you ever have those times where you just, because you are in such a beautiful space of self-love. And, that is,
the key. You know what I mean? Because when we have true self-love, we have no need to judge others. We have no need to be unkind to others. There's nothing that we're not trying to distract from looking within, because we already have. And we have found a space of love for what is within us. And I think it also brings an understanding that other people, 99.9% of the time, their behavior towards us has nothing to do with us.
Right.
Unless we're being unkind. But if you have found a space of self-love, you usually aren't unkind. So, but do you, throughout your life, have you ever, I'll just say it this way. For me, I went through a major transformation 4.5 years ago, and I've been in this really great space. And then just here recently, I had an event that made me say, I had a friend who's always been, if somebody says you're shining too bright, she would always say, you shine brighter, shine brighter, shine brighter. You know, she's like my ride or die, a couple months ago, she came to visit me and she was in a really bad space. And she said to me, it's not fair. I am just like so jealous of you sometimes because everything just works so easy for you. Mm. And I mean, it really put me into a tailspin and then didn't speak to me.
Why didn't you call me? Yeah.
Well, I didn't at the time I didn't know you. Yes, or I wouldn't.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm teasing anyway, but yeah.
But it like really put me into this tailspin of, oh my gosh, I've got to dim my light because even my ride or die, I'm too bright for, and it makes people uncomfortable, and you know what I mean. And I went into that space.
Yep.
And it was not nice at all. And last week, I went up into the mountains for a couple of days by myself and literally had a great convo with God. And he was like, you enjoying these feelings? Because I started feeling every human feeling that I never feel. You know what I mean? Like betrayal and dismissal. And he's like, you enjoying that? And I'm like, no. He's like, shall we try this again? And I was like, uh-huh. And so he explained to me that, no human is more vital than another. You're no better than anyone else. You're just different. And he said, embrace that difference.
Yeah, 100%.
Embrace that. And it really, but I do feel like it was a good thing for me to remember what it was like before this. Mm-hmm. Because, that's what I do for a living is help people to try to get to a space of self-love. And, you do it after 4.5 years and you kind of get to the space of, it's not that hard. You know, I don't say that, but that's like sometimes how I feel.
It's intentional. I say this all the time. People are like, oh, the work is so hard. I'm sorry. I have not seen the work as hard. I've seen it as different.
Yes.
That's it's all. Just, I've
we're
seen
not equipped.
It as,
we're not always equipped.
Yeah.
And that's why people need Kristen Brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you help equip people for that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. There's more than enough light for everybody. And I want for the people in the back who are feeling jealous of somebody or feeling like, Joe Blow gets it all and so-and-so. No, here's the thing. There's more than enough light for everyone. And you're on your own unique path. And just because someone's shining brightly does not mean it's taking away from you. Because what is designed for you is yours. They might be 4 miles up the road than you. So they're getting theirs now, whereas maybe you just got on your path. And this has to do with soul growth. So wherever we come here, we're at a certain stage, right? Certain journey, we're here to learn certain lessons. And maybe you are to learn that you shouldn't covet what somebody else has. Maybe you're learning here to learn unconditional love, right? So I've been through stages like that where I thought people had more than me. I'm happy to say that was in high school and maybe in my 20s for a little bit. I don't do that anymore. But this true unconditional love of self did not happen until my 40s. So, but I have, I know what you're talking about with, you know, I wouldn't say I was a complete doormat or a horrible people pleaser, even though my book's called The Recovering People Pleaser. It's all plays in together, and there's varying degrees of all of it in all different ways. But when you write a book, you have to be very poignant about certain points. But anyway,
right.
So, but yes, I've had this experience so many times in my life, I can't even tell you. And there's a part of me that kicks and screams and makes me mad because I'm like, why can't you just love me? I love you. Yes. Why are you always comparing? And here's the thing. I don't see myself as any better than them. So people were, what?
I said, hello.
Yeah. People were like, comparing themselves to me, and in whatever filter or shame filter they had or unworthiness filter they had. And it wasn't just me, which I later learned it's everybody. But yeah, there has been some terrible, you know, experiences that were incredibly painful where I'm just like, I'm giving you every ounce of my love and loyalty, but you're jealous of me. So you slept with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
That happened. This is one of my stories is that the girlfriend I grew up with, actually, she was her, they were our neighbors, and her like literally being taken home from the hospital, being born. They stopped at our house before they went to their own. So this is how long I've known this girl. We were very, very good friends. I loved her so much. And she bleeped my boyfriend. And years went by, and I was at her sister's wedding with her, and I had really worked on forgiveness. I did a paper in college on forgiveness, and I was like, okay, I have forgiven her. So after a few cocktails, standing on a table, because that's just what you do in your 20s, and the party was over, and everybody was loading up in the car, and she and I were standing on this picnic table, and I said, I just want you to know, and this, my heart was so full of love, and I said, just want to let you know that I forgive you for basically sleeping with my boyfriend. I mean, I lost my best friend and my boyfriend in one fell swoop and fell into a really dark depression after that for about 5 months. And her response back to me was, I forgive you too. For what? Huh? This is what I said. For what? And she said, for correcting me when I sang the wrong song lyrics.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, I just kind of froze like, okay, when you're with your best friend and someone's singing the wrong lyrics, don't you go, no, it's not My Eyes of Georgia. It's My Eyes of Georgia. You know, don't you kind of like, that's what love does, in my opinion, is so your friend doesn't look silly. Or, but she, because of her own internal shame and unworthiness, she took that as I'm better than her. So she bleeped my boyfriend. You know, and it was like, what?
That's some serious trauma right there. We could unpack that one all day long.
Right. But that was the type of things that happened. And then I had another story. It's kind of long. I'm not sure if I should tell it. I'm going to give the text. Should I tell it?
Just tell us.
All right. Okay. So
if you're prompted, do it.
Yeah. Because it's a good story, and it might validate other people's experiences. So I worked at this salon. There's about a small salon. There was about 9 of us. And at one point I owned it. And there's going to be some players involved here. So you guys are going to have to keep track. One day there was this walk-in gentleman, which I was super busy, booked 6 weeks out, whatever, however, the grace of God, I was able to do this man's hair. It's kind of a cowboy looking guy, probably 10 or 15 years older than me. Not my type by any means. Plus, I was engaged to my second husband at this point. So there's nothing weird going on here at all. So put that aside. About 6 months prior to that, one of the girls that worked at the salon, who I'll call her Sarah, because I need to use names here. Sarah just absolutely loved me. We were good friends. All of us in the salon were amazing friends. Well, Sarah's boyfriend was doing very bad things and cheating on her, and she caught him in the act. And, you know, she called me to come help rescue her and to be there when so she had police escort to get her stuff out of the house just to make sure nothing went wrong, you know, and all these things. And I had her come stay with me for a couple of days. I even had my kids go stay with their dad so that I could really like focus on her heart, whatever. And he threatened suicide. Long story short, her boyfriend committed suicide. All right. Or am I allowed to say that? Because, yeah. Okay, he unalived himself. And so, you know, during this time, she's coming into my bed in the middle of the night. She's like, can I sleep with you? And I'm holding her hands. And I'm like, yes. And I'm just being that mama nurturer that Kristen Brown is. And she's right. So grateful after all of this. And she's, you know, buying me things and, you know, amethyst bracelets and all, you know, just so grateful for you and all these things. So life is good. We're moving on. Meanwhile, I break my femur. So some months later, back up. I decided that I needed to sell the salon. It was too much for me. I was a single mom, whatever. And I offered it to her because she got life insurance and I knew that she wanted to buy a salon. I said, hey, I'm going to sell that. You don't have to buy it. I don't care. I'm going to list it, but decide if you want to buy it or not. And she's like, okay, I'll think about it. So meanwhile, I break my femur, riding my quad and I'm home. I'm, you know, 6 weeks non-weight bearing, blah, blah, blah. So I'm home and then she calls me while I'm home and she says, hey, I decided I want to buy this salon. It'd be a great idea for me and the kids to have, you know, this and that. I'm like, all right, you know, are you sure? Cause that, you know, don't feel like you have to, it's running perfectly fine, even with me home. And she's like, no, I really want to. I'm really excited about this, blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. Then even our other friend in the salon calls me and she's like, I don't want her to feel like she has to do this. And I'm like, no, we had a big conversation. She's really excited about it. Fine. So she buys the salon and then I come back to work. Oh no, let me back up. So the guy, this is where the guy comes in. Let's just call him Luke. Okay. So the older man comes in. So Luke was that, you know, he started going to her when I was off with my broken leg. And then she calls me one day and she goes, what do you think of Luke? And I said, oh, well, he's a really nice guy. She's like, well, do you think he's handsome? And I go, well, yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's not my type, but he's, you know, and I was just like, I don't know how to answer this question. Anyway, long story short, they start dating. Okay. They start dating. And then now she owns a salon. They're dating. We're at a Christmas party for the salon. She gets up and goes to the bathroom. He leans over to me and says, her 50th birthday is coming up. I want to plan it. Will you help me? I said, sure. He goes, can I get your cell phone number? I'm like, yes. Give him my number. She didn't actually go to the bathroom. She left purposely to peer around the corner to see if there were shenanigans going on. She saw our exchange. Oh. And then she calls me one day and she says, hey, blah, blah, blah. I see all this happening. By the way, I'm sitting in the grocery store parking lot with 3 kids in my back seat. And I said, this is important. Mm-hmm. She was my friend. And I said, oh my gosh, no, there's nothing weird, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she just kept going on and on. Like she was like a dog with a bone and she would not get off of it. And I said, listen, nothing is going on. And she wouldn't let it go. Finally, I said, okay, friend, here's the deal. He's planning a surprise birthday party for you. Like I totally let the cat out of the bag.
Right.
Because she's accusing me of something here. By the way, I'm engaged.
And you knew she was hurting. Because she thought something was happening.
Right. And the past boyfriend did cheat on her and all these things. And I told her that and she still was not okay with it. So so then her birthday comes. Remember, I'm engaged to be married. So then her birthday comes. We have the party. She's completely ignoring me. Every time I walk into the salon, she's ignoring me. She's turning her back to me. She's doing like, I'm like, what the heck? So I go from her very best savior, best friend, hero, here's a bracelet, to making up a story on her head. And now all of a sudden I'm the bad guy. And I left. I quit the salon. And one of the girls wanted to go with me. And I said, listen, you need to make up that decision on your own. I'm just going to slink out into the night, whatever. And so the girl ended up coming with me. So I later heard be another friend that was in the salon that every single day she basically held court in this salon telling everybody what a bad human I am, how I planned to sell her the salon and ruin her. And the stories were unbelievable. So when I say, have I dealt with extreme betrayal, blindsiding, sucker punch betrayal? Yes, I have. I have.
So I want to I want to tell you, when you were telling this story, and I don't know if this will help at all, when you were telling the story about all of it, and I just asked, I was like, what flipped in this woman, you know? And Father said her that Luke made the mistake of saying one time, you know, Kristen's a really pretty girl. She's really, I really like her. She, meaning it not in a sexual way or anything else, just a, like, I know she's your good friend. I really like her. But her previous insecurities, just her previous traumas, just then you became the, you know, the catalyst or the potential danger, and she had to villainize you.
Well, and she,
that's and sad. But
she had also told me prior to this, and I don't know time frames, but I know that she was still with the previous guy that unalived himself. She did say to me at some point in our life, she said, you are, and she wasn't meaning physically, she goes, you are very attractive to people. Just standing one day in the middle of the night, and I go, I am? And she goes, yeah. She goes, but I don't mean just men. She goes, I mean women. Like, you're very attractive to people. And I remember standing there being like, okay, like weird, random, out of the blue thing. So what I think she somehow was seeing me as something better than her when she was the most adorable thing ever. Right. And this is something, my friends, that if people, I've had to really, really learn to come to grips with this, because again, this is not saying I'm some special superstar by any means, but there are going to be people that think we have more than they do. And there's a fine line between love and hate or idolatry and disdain. I don't know what it is. Like, one minute you're their hero and your best friend and they're so grateful that they have you, and the next minute they can't get away from you fast enough. And it's a very, very sad thing. And part of my healing journey, I've had a lot of that in my life, and for just being me. That's why we dim down, and because we're just being us. And somebody doesn't like it. And somebody, so then we start to dim down and hide in the corners and hide in the shadows and try to be these lesser versions of ourselves. And I'm to the point in my life, fuck that.
Ditto.
You want to go? Go. You think I'm too much? Go. If you think I'm too much light, go. I want people in my corner now that they shine their authentic light. I shine my completely different, unique, authentic light. And there is room for 7.9 billion of us.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, yes. That is, you know, it's so, it is so funny that because you were saying that you don't see yourself as this superstar.
No.
Right? And
not at all. Maybe the contrary.
Yeah, but yeah, I get you. I get you. Truly, honestly, I get you. And I think, like, literally, I didn't even put in the description that you were a Fab U speaker, because I couldn't fit it in, because I had to say magically fantastical. I had to, because that's how I see you, is magically fantastical. And but I going along these lines of not seeing ourselves as anything more, quite the contrary. When I came back from the mountains, one of our practitioners who's been with us now for almost a year, had a little birthday party over at my house this last weekend. It was the first time that I had seen him since I was back. And he looked at me and he said, your light is back.
Ooh, I love that you have a friend that notices when your light is back.
All of the practitioners that at Free Will Healing, like, all of them are that way. Like, everybody was just like, because it was a birthday party for all the Libras. And my husband, who's a Scorpio, but his birthday is the 30th. So so that's what the whole party was for and everything. Almost all of the practitioners were here, and every single one of them was just like, oh, we're glad to have you back. We're glad to have you back. We're glad to have you back. And when I was telling this one specific practitioner, who is, I mean, you want to talk about magical. I mean, this guy is, his name's Sergio Espinoza. And the things this man can do is beyond any kind of imagination. I see people come in wheelchairs and walk out. My own daughter walked in on crutches. She had hyperextended her knee, and literally within 10 minutes, she walked out like hopping and skipping. I mean, he's magical.
I would love to not wear readers anymore. So hopefully I could take away my
far side. Yeah, we're actually going to have a spa day for all of the speakers at FabU. Yeah. So, but anyways, so I was telling him about just like kind of him and I were sitting out on the back deck, and I was talking to him and I said, you know, growing up, like the one thing I wanted besides my own family, was I just wanted to be normal. I just wanted to be like everybody else. I just wanted to blend in. And he looked at me and he smiled and he goes, that is so funny. And I was like, why is that funny? He said, because everybody who knows you wants to be you.
Yeah.
And I was like, and this is a guy of few words, you know what I mean? Like, yes. He doesn't, when he speaks, it's intentional. And I was just like, thank you. I don't think that's true, but okay, thank you. And he goes, and that's why we love you, because you don't believe that's true.
Yeah.
Because you see all of us as the light that feeds you, but you are the light that feeds us. Mm. And it was exactly what I needed to hear.
It's beautiful.
To be reminded, mm-hmm. That I'm not meant to be a wallflower, and that it has made an impact in his life. It has made him a better practitioner. It has made him focus more on healing and not finances and, you know, all of these other things. So, but yeah, it was very beautiful. And so I get you, girlfriend. I get you. And, you know, if I ever felt like that again, I would call you first. Now I would.
I'd be texting you in 2.2.
I know you would. I know you would. You're like my, you know, the, my preventive medicine. So I don't have to go up into the mountains for 3 days.
Well, thank awesome. You for saving me money. I was a little bit envious of that. I'm like, you went to the mountain for 3 days, dude. Cause I have been in a rested rejuvenation cycle, which by the way, it's back. And I've had to plug in my Kristen's cell phone with my big ass USB port. And, you know, and I just think it's important that people know that this is just all a big freaking journey, and life is drama. I was hearing Marianne Williams say this morning, all these people trying to escape drama and getting on medications to not feel. She goes, life is dramatic. Ooh. That's what we're here for. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. And I was like, oh, that's so true. Right.
100%.
But we do need to go into these rest and rejuvenation cycles. And I was speaking to one of our fellow wismers on the phone this morning, who I forgot that we had an interview. So I screwed that up. And what happened was that I said it was very strange space for me, because normally even when I'm overwhelmed or I'm tired, I'm still inspired, and I was blank. Like it was a white sheet of paper in my head. And I was like, okay. And the ego wants to go, you're just done. You're never going to do this again. You're just done. It's over. Blah, blah, blah. And maybe I should go work at Michael's or Starbucks. You know? I was like, what's going on? And then I said, no, honey, you are in a rest and rejuvenation stage. You just need to rest. Let your mind go. Yeah. Take pressure off. Blah, 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 blah. And I did that. And when I gave myself permission to do that, it was a matter of days till it was like, whoop, I woke up and I was jumped on. I actually did my first YouTube live that I've never done before. I did that Sunday. And it was so invigorating. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm back. I just needed to relax. I just needed to do nothing.
Yeah, it was my birthday gift to myself. And it was, I mean, when I say primitive, so the entire cabin was the size, probably half the size of my living room. It was a bed, a table, a refrigerator, and a microwave, and a bathroom.
Were you out in the middle of nowhere? Because I would have been scared by myself. I would have had to have a firearm.
Yeah, well, I did have a firearm. My husband insisted that I take it with me. And it was, you know, it was a detox from I kept my phone off. I turned it on twice a day, in the morning to tell my husband I'm up and safe. And, again, at nighttime to say, you know, I'm safe, I'm going to bed. And, was
beautiful.
Exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody told me unplug to reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh my goodness, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Because when you feel everyone's energy around you all the time, mm-hmm. Sometimes you take on things that aren't yours. And, you know, plus I was dealing with my own shit and drama, and, you know, and it was exactly what I needed. And it was, I would say, is probably the best gift I've ever given myself. And, you know, this year was 53. And not that I just telling my husband last night, I'm like, I don't feel 53, but I am. And I don't look 53. I'm still hot, but not that 53-year-olds aren't hot, but I just feel like I look more. I'm going to go with 21. I'm feeling 21 today. My wrinkles don't say that.
I'm feeling about 33, 35. All my 30s was great. So it can be any of those. It can be 39. I loved my 30s. But I just, before you go on, I want to give a shout out to Jessica Rowe, who's giving some love in the listeners lounge, because Jessica, you are a bright light, sister, and you are a powerful voice on this application. I just wanted to take a minute to say hello. And I see you on sometimes, and I flip through like I do Facebook, just 2 seconds. I'm like, God, I don't have time to talk. But just know I recognize you, Jessica. You are awesome. And thank you for listening.
That is so sweet. And just so people know, I have an Android phone. So anybody who has an Android, you can't clap or like you can't do any, nor do I see it when anybody does like emojis or anything. I don't see any of that. So please always know that it's not that I'm not acknowledging you guys. I just, my wisdom doesn't have that feature for Android yet. So, but, and Kristen, I know that we only have a short period of time left. If you have an extra 10 minutes,
sure.
you let me know. So tell me, how did you get involved with Fab U?
How did I get involved with Fab U?
I obviously know the answer, but I want to hear it from you.
Well, you were talking to Mojo. Was it Mojo you were talking to? This is the very first time I saw your name, right? You were talking to Mojo, and I came up afterwards and I said, you were talking about your child that you lost and how you viewed that now. And I got up afterwards, I was going to say my piece, but I acknowledged you. And I said, there's only someone who's really done the healing work who can speak like that. That is like true healing work that we just heard happened, because losing a child is not easy. To me, honestly, it's probably one of the hardest things anybody could ever experience.
Agreed.
And I think it's just like, yeah. And I said that, and then you back-channeled me, and then we started a conversation, and you invited me to Fab U, and I think it was just like an energetic match, to be honest.
Yeah. You are definitely my sister from another mister. You are the yin to my yang.
Okay.
Because we're so much alike, but we speak different languages, but yet completely fluent with each other.
Yeah. Cause it's energy, you know, and that's what I think is so important. And that's something that I found on this app, that I always got to give a shout out to Wisdom for this one particular thing.
Absolutely.
One is, it really helped me cultivate confidence in my voice, because I have a podcast with 146 episodes. I was doing videos, I was doing things, but yet I still had that little piece of, ooh, someone's going to get mad. And because that had been my experience, like we talked about in the beginning of this broadcast, we talked about that would have been my experience. And then, so it's really helped me. Like people came up and said, thank you. And added to it and their same experience. And I'm like, I'm not alone. People get this stuff. And so it really helped me to really truly step into me and be who I am. And along the way, I found what I call, A Course in Miracles actually calls mighty companions. And what they say is some of us are put here to travel, you know, through life and our journey to do things. And it's very solo because there's not people around us who get our journey. Only we get it. And it feels very alone. And we have a lot of the things happen like that happened to you and me along the way. But it says, once you reach a certain stage of your spiritual growth, your mighty companions will come in. This is A Course in Miracles, not Kristen Brown. And to link arms with you is the words I use, not A Course in Miracles. And they'll come in to link arms with you so that you have these people with you to go the rest of the way with. So it's like we had to learn on our own, but then we get the support that we need, which is seems kind of backwards, but it's really purposeful.
I can't agree with you more. I can't agree with you more. And if you want to, why don't you, because we're at 1 minute, why don't you go out and come back in?
Okay, I will.
So that we don't interrupt the next subject. So as Kristen's doing that, I just want to validate absolutely what she just said. You know, when you're a podcaster and you just sit in front of a mic and you just speak and then you, you know, edit it the best you can and you put it out there to the world, you don't get a whole lot of feedback.
No, you don't. You're talking to
and
nothing.
So it's like, you know, and it doesn't, it's not a confidence builder, you know, and so wisdom has done the same thing for me, Kristen. Yeah. The biggest thing I think wisdom has done for me is that it has given me that hope that, like you were saying, those mighty companions, you know, people out there who don't say, hey, Tina, you're shining a little too bright today. Could you turn that down? You know, the people who listen or follow or, you know, come up as a guest or whatever, not that they always agree with me, but they always validate that what I'm speaking of is a value, you know, and, that really having that feedback, was so vital to my own personal growth, you know, and like you said, it was what helped me find, the first time I heard Mojo talk, I was like, I want to be his friend.
Yeah. He's a good
man. And then I heard you speak and I heard your voice and I could feel that energy within you of just pure love and beauty. And I'm like, oh, I want to be her friend too.
I want to be her friend and her friend and his friend. And
yeah. And it's been, it has been a beautiful experience, you know, and, not every person you come across obviously is going to give you that feeling, but each person I have come across is well worth anyone that I haven't.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, what is your hope for Fabu?
My hope for Fabu is that, number one, I would love wisdomers to come because I would like to be in the energy of so many of wisdomers on here, like the majority of wisdomers. I would love them to come. And, you know, I may not recognize somebody right away because the picture is so small. I'm typically on here right now. I'm sitting outside with my sunglasses on. So I, you know, don't typically see what people look like. And it would be nice to see someone in person and to share hugs with them. But that's one of my wants or desires is that we, because I've heard people on here saying, I really want to get out there so I can meet a lot of wisdomers. And I'm like, I really hope that a lot of wisdomers come. The second thing would be that it is a broadcast energetically and collectively into the universe that really helps to shift people from a fearful space, a lack space. I can't do it. I'm overworked. I'm overwhelmed. I'm not enough. They can shift them into a space where they at least have hope that they can heal as well, or it's just the cherry on top of their healing already, or it's just validation for where they already are. You know?
I think that that's beautiful. And FABU stands for forgive, allow, become you, which is the beginning path of finding that self-love. And like mm-hmm. we talked about before, when you get into that space of self-love, there is no need to judge others, to be unkind, to, because you're willing to look within, you know, you're willing to look at your own crap, and you don't need to point out other people's crap to avoid from looking within and raising that vibration, raising the vibration of man, of humankind. Each one of those people will then go and hopefully raise the vibration of another 10, 100, whatever. Yes. And this is truly an opportunity for true change in this world. You know, people say, what can one person do? A lot. What can six people do? A lot. And what 100%. Can 1,000 people do? What can 10,000 people do?
You know, absolutely. I just heard Mike Dooley the other day say something like this. He said, the power of a loving thought is something like 100,000 times more powerful than a fearful thought.
Yes.
So when you get love in a room like that, it can't be anything other than powerful. It just can't right. be.
Well, Monsters, Inc. proved this. That laughter is so much more powerful and holds so much more positive energy than being fearful.
Yeah.
They proved it.
They did. Yeah, yeah. It just takes a Pixar movie or whatever whatever that was. There's so many great messages in these movies. There's so many great messages in these movies.
Yes. Yes, I 100% agree. I 100% agree. And you know, as you and I have talked about, you know, the FABU has been a huge undertaking and also a huge journey in my own personal growth. And you know, when I was up in the mountains and I was having this conversation with Father, and I was like, you know, I just want to do a good job and I want to make sure it's successful. And how are we going to be funding this? And, you know, like all of this stuff, because what a lot of people don't know is it doesn't matter what the ticket sales are, because you don't get that until, you know, like 2 to 3 weeks after the event is over. And but yet there's still $20,000 worth of expenses to make it happen, you know? And so, and I am not a wealthy woman, you know, whatsoever. And so I was asking Father, I'm like everything's going to be cool, right? And like, what am I need to be doing? And you know what he said to me? He said, how arrogant of you. And I was like, what? And he said, how arrogant of you to believe that the success of something I created predicated upon you. He said, you're a speaker and you're doing the legwork. This isn't Tina Mason Presents. This isn't Free Will Healing Presents. He said, this is me.
Mm.
And I will handle it.
And I will say, like,
whew, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say that the ticket pricing is very reasonable. So if you want to share that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually, I'm going to share both. So we did start a GoFundMe, because, you know, my corporate brain, being an accountant for so many years, I did what is, what my societal side of me said, oh, you know, you get corporate sponsors and you know, you sell them a corporate package for advertising and blah, 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 blah. Right. And that wasn't working so well. And then Miss Lois actually is, whom I adore, actually called me one day and she said, I love her. She's coming, by the way, to FABU.
Oh my God.
But anyways, she just lives 2 hours from me. So, but anyways, she called me one day and she said, how do people who don't have, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars to contribute or to buy sponsorships. How do we make, we're all a part of this, Tina. Like, all of us are, the whole world is a part of this. How do we make sure this happens? And I was like, duh. So if this is an event about love, right? And money is currency. It's current. It's energy. What is the most basic place to start that chain of love? Because corporations give money out of tax breaks and, you know, advertising, or, you know, what they get in return. But when people, when you do, because I was very resistant at first to GoFundMe, because it was in my head was charity, right? And I'm like, I should be able to do this myself, you know? And, but then God again called me a little bit arrogant. And he said, how dare you not allow my children to give from their hearts? This event is about love. And when we give with no need to receive, it is unconditional love. Allow my children. Get over your own arrogance or pettiness, ego, and allow my children to make my event happen. And I was like, ooh, okay, I'm hearing you. So I started a GoFundMe. And you can go to my profile here, and the GoFundMe link is actually in my profile. Or you can just go to GoFundMe and type in Fabu, and it will pull it up. And if you want to buy tickets, you can go to www.freewillhealing.com/Fabu, or even if you just go to the homepage, it has a tab for Fabu, and it has a link in there for, you know, how to get the tickets and everything else. And, yeah, I'm so excited and just so, I know I sent you,
I also want to add that you can donate anonymously. So if you're worried that, you know, you don't have thousands of dollars to donate, you can donate anonymously. Like there is a tab for that. So you don't feel like you have to have your name at default and things like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for pointing that out. So we're just super excited. And I know from the very beginning of this whole thing and how it's transpired, and the people that have been like you and Mojo and Ryan that have been brought into my life throughout this process. Just that love. Just that love alone is priceless to me. It's priceless to me. And I have such a strong desire to share that with everybody in the world. And I think, Fabu, whatever it is that's going to happen, even if, and I have to repeat your words, because when we talked about, you know, when I was telling you, like, I don't know if I can pay you, you know what I mean? Cause like, I don't know what's going to happen. And, you said, I don't care if there's like one, we sell one ticket and fill the place with homeless
people in the place. That's what I said. You know? I don't care if there's 3 people or 3,000. It's a beautiful, fun opportunity. And it just feels right. And this is a really important thing to point out to people, is that when we really truly follow inspiration and follow guidance without attachment to results or what it's going to mean, we're really in the flow of our life. We're really in that journey, because we don't know where we're at in any step of the way, but our job is to follow inspiration and follow that guidance. So if you're feeling guided, if you're like, I'm really getting this nudge to go to FabU, I would suggest that you follow that guidance if at all possible. I understand people have all kinds of different moving parts in their life. I'm one of them, right? But you know, it's just, that's, I just go from feel good thing to the next feel good thing. That's what I do. If it right. doesn't feel good, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. And that doesn't mean any diss to anybody. It doesn't mean anything. It just means I know that universe guides me based on the lightness that I feel around a situation. So if someone, if you're feeling right. that lightness around Fab U, there's something in this for you. I don't know what it is. I couldn't tell you that, but there's something in this for you.
Yeah, it is absolutely just beautiful. And, you know, the thing that I do love about the GoFundMe, because, you know, like Ms. Lois said, she said, you know, some people can only give a dollar or $5 or, you know, but every dollar is building whatever it is that it's going to be, you know, and it's mm-hmm. beautiful. But so, Kristen, tell us the name of your book. That do you have a release date yet? I know it's in November, but do we have a firm no. date yet?
No, there's no official release date yet, but it is, we are planning on mid-November because there's formatting and things and passing back and forth. And we ran into a little glitch because when they were saving things that I did, and then they would make the changes and then send it back to me, somehow in the saving process, things would switch and I'd be like listing things that weren't there the last time. So we were having a little technical difficulty. So right now we are aiming for the November sometime. So what I tell people, first of all, the name of the book is The Recovering People Pleaser, A Spiritual Guide to Reclaim Your True Worth and Attract the Love You Deserve. And it is geared towards people who recognize they're a people pleaser. They are the gentle, loving, nurturer ones in the world, yet they keep attracting or getting back to them people who don't treat them well. And this book is truly like, I feel very, I don't even know how to explain it. I just, there's something really, I don't even like the word special because that makes it feel like it stands out, but there's something beautiful about this book. I can feel it. It practically wrote itself. I wrote the book in 6 months and it's like 235 pages. So it's not like it's this little teeny tiny, it is a full blown book. You know, it's a 6x9, it will be print, and it flew out of me. There was even stuff in there. There was a chapter in there that I didn't even plan on having in there. It just started writing itself. It was not on my outline. And about 5 or 6, you know, full pages in, I was like, what is this? This is not what I had titled at the top of the page. And so, but as I was, you know, got quiet about it, I said, oh, I see, this is supposed to be in here. I get it. So I've laid the book out in a way that I talk about the what and the why of people pleasing, because when people understand how it comes in or why and what it makes it come into place for us, then the how-to makes perfect sense. So it just, again, it laid itself out in a way. It's very odd. The book was just on time, again, following guidance. I knew this book was in me, sat on it for a while, and I just said, when it's time, it's time. I got the nudge in January, started thinking about it, writing outlines and stuff, and started writing in March, and it was like pretty much done by July. So it is going to be available on all major book-selling sites. And if you want to know, if you're someone who's really been struggling with your people pleasing, your lack of self-worth, your inability to stand up for yourself or really step into your whole power, your true authentic nature, and you've had a backstory of attracting takers, then this book is for you. So you can go to my website at kristenbrown.org. and scroll down on the first page and you can enter your email address just into a little easy quick form. So when I send out that date, you will be notified because, you know, if you're banking on Wisdom or Instagram or something like that, you might miss the posts or the whatever that comes up. So it'd be the best way to stay in the loop for notification.
And I do know that, you know, you're a very humble person and I appreciate that greatly. And I can only speak truth. So the book is special. It is, it I have not had the opportunity to read it. But I trust my body. And when you talk about it, as you're sitting there talking about it, I'm thinking, I know that Kristen will tell me when it's released, but can I pre-order 2 copies? Cause I literally, well, 3, cause I want them for myself, but I want to buy one for each of my daughters.
Thank you. And I've had people say that to me. People have said, I'm ordering 5. This is my Christmas gifts to people.
Yes,
That's
exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. I'm not doing the pre-order thing. Cause that's just was like a complicated and getting, you know, it was too much for me at the time. So I'm not doing pre-orders, but it will be available definitely before Christmas. So I will let you know.
The exciting thing is where we are hoping, I know you and I have talked about this. We are hoping that you will be able to get a chunk of copies to bring with you to FabU that people can purchase and actually have you sign them.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be awesome.
So it's the one thing I will say that someone asked me, I was on a podcast interview yesterday with Andy Scarantino, who's from here. She has Get the Fuck Off podcast. She is such a beautiful light. She's another
one. Her.
Oh God. She's amazing. And when I was going to say, she asked me some questions. She said, you know, what do you think people will get from this book? And I said, here's what I know for sure is that I don't know because everybody's at different places on their journey. I don't know. Either you'll highlight every single sentence of this book. You'll get one sentence from this book. I don't know. I just know the book is written with love and the highest intention. And I will say this, though, if you are a people pleaser and you know that, or a doormat, or however you codependent, however people want to term it, you know, we have to term things
so people can understand.
You know, somehow we got to term things so people understand. But if you identify with that type of thing, I will tell you this, that I know for sure, you're going to feel seen and you're going to feel understood. And I actually, people that have read the book, the first paragraph, I go in, very first paragraph of the book, my first sentence is, I see you, soul sibling. And then I go into why. And people have told me who have read it, they've said that paragraph made me cry. So it is.
I'm getting a little teary just hearing you say it.
Yeah. That's like when they couldn't give me a better compliment. Like that first paragraph made me cry because it's tears of validation. It's tears of relief. It's tears of, oh my God, somebody gets me and sees me. And so that's the one thing I would say is if you do identify with this at this point in your journey, being a people pleaser and wanting to heal that, I do believe you will be seen. And the other thing is that it's a very, what people would call vulnerable book is because I share a lot of my personal stories. So I share things and experiences that I've had, and I feel like those are very relatable to people.
Well, you're just such a beautiful human. And I'm going to tell you, I do know what people will get out of this book. They will get exactly what they need.
Exactly.
They will get exactly what they need. And because like you said, people, everybody's in a different space in their journey. There is no box. There is no, this is what you will obtain. It is knowing, like you were saying about FabU, you know, if you feel that nudge, if you're feeling inspired by what Kristen is saying, if you're feeling drawn to this book, there's a reason. Your body will not lie. And you're feeling it for a reason. And will you say the title for us one more time?
Sure. It is The Recovering People Pleaser, A Spiritual Guide to Reclaim Your True Worth and Attract the Love You Deserve. And I've just had a news flash announcement just in. Jessica Rowe back-channeled me. And
okay, just so everybody knows, this is fresh information.
This is
you
fresh.
Heard it on this podcast. And you heard it on the Tina Mason and Laura Schmidt show.
Jessica said that she donated to FabU and she's going to try her best to make it to the conference. And she's excited for all of us to come. Wait, I don't have my glasses on. I'm excited for all is to come for FabU. Yay! Exclamation point.
Oh, thank you, Jessica. Thank you. So everybody, if you do not
sent that, but I just saw the little tiny little yellow light. I was like, oh, I got a message.
You're Thank so you, cute. Jessica.
This is interesting because I was thinking of Jessica. I'm like, wow, I'd really like to meet her in person. So there's going to be,
it's going to be like a family reunion.
It is going to be the tip of something special because like Jessica's someone that I would love to have speak at maybe the next one, you know, or whenever you decide to do this again. Like I would sit in an audience and listen to her fill up my heart. So yeah.
So, we actually are already planning next year's, like very kind of basically, but we are thinking about New Orleans.
Just please not in the summer.
Oh, no. No. No, probably October timeframe when it's cooled off, but it's not, the weather's still nice and not too close to the holidays, you know. But yeah, it's just something that I love New Orleans. I love old buildings and history and, you know, so it's just something that we were kind of throwing around and looking at. But we plan on doing making FabU a annual thing.
Oh, so, awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead.
A funny story about New Orleans. This is kind of funny. My second husband, who I call my tsunami husband, right? He's the one who just, you know, was part of the whole annihilating of my life and washing everything out. And well, here's what's interesting. We were going to honeymoon in New Orleans and Katrina hit.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know, foreshadowing, because what is Katrina do? It's not a tsunami.
It's a hurricane.
But isn't that interesting? Katrina hit, like, that we didn't even have to cancel our reservations because, you know, everything was gone. And that ended up, I don't know, I just thought that was a little funny story, but I've been meaning to get back.
That is interesting.
Isn't that kind of interesting? A little foreshadowing. But everything is purposeful. But yeah, I would love to get there. But I really am excited about FabU, and I am sharing it in my newsletters and posting it and doing all the things and hoping that people, you know, really are inspired. I think the more we talk about this, the more people can understand this. Really, there's a lot of heart behind this. And these are not people getting up here that are just trying to push themselves. These are people who have gone through serious experiences and coming out the other side. And they have some wisdom. Yeah. There's some serious wisdom to share and you know, something for everybody, I think. Even for me, like I told you that I feel like there's, even though I'm a speaker there, there's something I'm going to get from this. Like it's all purposeful all the way around.
Well, I will tell you something that Father said to me when I was just, you know, in my own head about things. And he said, "What are you worried about?" He said, "It's going to break the internet." And I was like, "Well, what are you going to do?" And he's like, you know, I feel like he speaks to everybody in a manner that they can hear, you know, because if he spoke to me and thou thus must, I would be like, huh? And so he speaks to me in humor because that's how I hear it. And so I was like, "What are you going to do?" And he's like, "That's for me to know and you to find out." And I was like, "Oh." So well, it is his event. So
God does have a sense of humor.
Well, you know, my first book is Becoming an Oracle: Proof God Has a Sense of Humor. So, I
love that. Well, so, I just thank you so much for having this amazing, just high vibe, heartfelt conversation. I have not been on Wisdom for like a week or two because I was taken off, you know, taking my little break from everything. And, it just felt really good to get back on here again and to see everybody. Like, I feel like I've been gone for 6 months. It's only been like a week.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto. So, I'm right there with you.
Thank you so much for this conversation. I actually really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Kristen, for taking your time. I know you're so busy and I just appreciate you so much. And, I look forward to meeting you in person. And, you know, I'm going to be like a spider monkey hopped up on Mountain Dew trying to hug you when you walk in the door. So But I will, you know, my husband will be like, Tina, stop fangirling.
Stop.
My girls.
Jessica and I probably, Jessica Armstrong and I probably hugged like four times. You know, we just practically stuck to each other the whole time we saw each other. And because I went to Georgia recently and I got to see Jessica. I know. It's so good to see everybody. It is so good.
Amazing. Well, thank you everybody. So much for your time. And we greatly appreciate you. And you and I will talk soon. And tomorrow we'll be having Ryan Allen on at noon Mountain Standard Time. And he is another fabulous speaker and another person that Kristen and I adore. And this is going to be so much fun.
I know.
We call it Christmas summer camp.
Ooh.
Because we're, awesome. Well, you know, because all of you guys are going to be in my basement. So it'll be like summer camp.
All right.
Well, I love you, sweet girl. Thank you so much.
You too. And thank you to everybody who's passed through the room and who will listen on the replay. We appreciate you. And I appreciate you so much, Tina. Thank you so much. It was amazing.
Ditto, my sister.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye, everybody.
So if you don't follow Kristen Brown, I highly suggest you do. She just has so much wisdom. I mean, truly, honestly, she is just a powerhouse of hope and love and kindness and beauty. And she just has a way of helping you to switch your perception of what is into the truth of what really is. Instead of seeing that glass half empty, you start to see it half full and have the desire to continue to fill it up. And she's just a beautiful human. I mean, she is truly a gift from the heavens to this earth. So again, if you have a desire to look at the events that we're having for FabU, you can go to www.freewillhealing.com/FabU. And you can get tickets there, read about the event. You can also, if you want to help us to fund it to make sure that this does happen, you can go to GoFundMe and just search FabU, Raising the Vibration of Humankind. And there is no minimum amount to donate. I mean, whatever you feel compelled to give would be greatly appreciated. So you guys have a wonderful day. Please know each and every one of you, you're all loved exactly as you are. Peace.
If you have suggestions for topics that you would like us to cover or you have a question, please feel free to contact us via email at whosaidyouhaveto@gmail.com. If you would like to know more about Free Will Healing, Tina, or me, visit our website at www.freewillhealing.com.
And also, please check the show notes for all of our Who Said You Have To social media links on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, where you can follow or subscribe to get updates for any upcoming events or personal appearances near you.
We encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
who said you have to?